Thank you, Frank. Good songs. It's like you've been waiting all day to do that. How about we dig deep tonight into pigs and pearls? I just thought that sounded like a good thing to do. Follow up from this morning's lesson on doing the will of God. We have this idea of pigs and pearls given to us in Scripture. And we need to know the difference. So we're going to be educated on pigs and pearls tonight. The passage is from Matthew chapter 7 at verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. I don't know how many times you've ever studied that passage and made sense out of it and have it understanding for what it speaks to us. What is this about dogs and pearls and swine that we're supposed to understand? What's the message and the lesson? Pigs and pearls. And it's set in the context of judgment. If you look at Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, let's read those together. Let's read that passage. One that we've studied before. It's not a foreign passage to you. Starts off in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For what or with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how you can say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And then it's like out of left field, he includes this passage from verse 7. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. It's almost like he doesn't want us to do what we're supposed to do in certain instances. You'll understand what I meant by that in just a little bit. Jesus called a spade a spade. He was not about mincing words. He was not about being afraid to speak the truth on any occasion, for any reason, or any situation. He called Herod a fox back in Luke chapter 13. And he labeled the scribes and Pharisees whitewashed tombs and brood of vipers. That's a pretty dismal look at the upper end of the religious sect of the day. These were the people who were supposed to be leading the Jewish nation in God's ways, and he said, you're a brood of vipers. You're like whitewashed tombs. Outside, you're all white and nice. Inside, you're just a mess. So, oops, I missed him. Can't miss J.W. McGarvey. You all know who J.W. McGarvey is? Passed away many years ago, but a good faithful gospel preacher. Wrote many commentaries. In his commentary to Fourfold Gospel, he has this to say on this passage in Matthew verse 7. He, in other words, a Christian, must know dogs and swine when he sees them and must not treat them as priests and kings, the fit objects for the bestowing of holy food and goodly ornaments. We're here forbidden, then, to use any religious office, work, or ordinance in such a manner as to degrade or profane it. Saloons ought not to be opened with a prayer. Nor ought adulterous marriages to be performed by a man of God. To give pearls to swine is to press the claims of the gospel upon those who despise it until they persecute you for annoying them with it. When such men are known, they are to be avoided. Again, from the Fourfold Gospel. He makes good sense out of this passage. It comes to a point to where sometimes we can press and press and press till people get just really fed up with it. They don't want to hear anymore. This passage refers to them as swine. We don't think that's a very nice thing to call somebody as a pig. Don't cast your pearls before a swine. Take a look, go a little farther. Dogs don't care where the meat comes from. You ever notice that? They could care less where you got that meat. Just give it. And swine don't care if the pearls are below their feet. They don't care if they're on a bed of pearls, or if there's one, or if they're just mud. They don't care. They don't know the difference. What's described in this passage are people, men and women, who could care less about heaven's invitation, heaven's riches, God's will, God's hope. They just don't care to hear about it. What else can we learn from pigs and pearls? Discernment. One thing this passage teaches us is about discernment. After that, don't judge not that you be not judged, and with the measure you measure it, it'll be measured back to you, and so forth, and the plank, and the mote, the speck, and all that. We're told to discern between pigs and people, swine and people, pigs and swine. We're given a charge to discern a genuine prospect from a pig. Not placing God's pearls before swine or before those interested would be considered sinful. So let's don't forget that. If we have someone who may be interested in the gospel, not to share that gospel with them would be a sin. It was, James says, for him to know to do good and do it not, for him is sin. So that's what that is. But at the same time, spending too much time with a pig is just as bad not being good steward of God's pearls. Have you ever stood before a pig trying to explain to him God's pearls? Would you ever, in your wildest imagination, consider someone a pig because they didn't want to hear what you had to say? That's what this lends us to. Wasteful to not use when we should. Likewise wasteful to use when we should not. There's the idea. That's the reason we need to discern the difference between pigs and swine and people. Further, a little bit of understanding about discernment. Need to recognize that we have limited resources in all this. Your life, your time, your energy, opportunities. These are some pearls that God has bestowed upon us all as Christians that we're to be managers of. Read with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. First Peter chapter 4 at verse 8, down to verse 11. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has a gift or received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. What we do with the abilities we've been given glorifies God. That's the whole point. In discerning between those who want to hear about the gospel or will hear about it, those who could care less, we're making good use of some mental facility he's given us, the ability to discern between the two. Not to do that, not to discern, but just try to, you know, just throw the gospel out there like a scatter bomb and let it hit who it may. That's not really the most efficient way to do that. Time spent with pigs is not time spent with a person. So the more you spend with someone who doesn't care to hear about what you have to say, that's time taken up could be spent with someone who would care to hear what you have to say. Is all this making sense? I hope y'all look at me like, where is he going with all that? Well, it makes a difference if you're accustomed to talking to people about the gospel in the first place. If you're not accustomed to trying to talk to people about the gospel, you've never come up against someone who would be considered a pig or a dog. If you're not trying to share the gospel with the folks that you run across with on a daily basis or weekly basis anyway, this won't make much sense, will it? It might make sense, but it's not personal to you. We talked about this morning that the two young men who the father asked to go to work, one said he would and he didn't, one said he wasn't going to, but he did. We talked about that being the vineyard of the Lord, and for us, it's people. That's our vineyard. In the vineyard, you're going to find pigs, dogs, and pearls. You're going to find people who will be willing to hear the gospel and people who won't. They don't really care. It's up to us to know the difference and to judge the difference. This passage on judging that preceded this verses about the pigs and the swine and the pearls and the dogs, gives us the idea that we're not supposed to just blatantly judge everybody, but we have the sensibilities, the God-given senses, to know when someone is listening and to know when someone is not, and to judge righteous judgment and then act accordingly to what we're getting back, the feedback. A little more discernment, Matthew 13. Kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. It was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to the shore, and they sat down and gathered to the good into the vessels and threw the bad away. God wants us to discern the good from the bad, the good prospect from the bad prospect. We need to have a discerning eye. Now, in fairness, that passage in Matthew has to do with the angels separating the good from the bad and the furtherance of that passage. But the idea there is for us too. When we're talking to someone, I don't know if you ever talked to somebody about the gospel who just ate you up and spit you out. I was just talking to somebody last Friday. And he had made a comment to me. It was over at the golf course. And he'd made a comment to me about needing to be more of what God wanted him to be. And I thought, oh, there's an open door. I'm fitting to walk through that bad boy. And so we began to talk about church and this, that, and the other. And I asked him a little bit later. I said, well, where do you go to church? Where do you worship? He says, tell you the truth, I just don't. I said, really, why not? He says, well, you know, he says, when you go to all these denominations and non-denominations and one this and one that, he says, what they teach you, they don't teach you Christ, they don't teach you Jesus, they teach you religion. I said, well, I can appreciate that. There's a lot of folks who don't teach Christ so much as they do teach a religion of sorts. I'm with you there. Well, you need to come see us over in Hallsville, though, because when you hear me preach, you're going to hear Christ, and you're going to hear the gospel, and you're going to hear what's in this book. And he said a couple other things, and I responded back. He said, there you go with your doctrine again. I said, whoa, wait a minute. He said something about, and I've forgotten now the comment he made exactly, but it had to do with being able to speak in tongues and God giving him the gift of tongues. And I said, well, if the Bible said that those things, said, well, there you go with your doctrine again. And I couldn't even get to first base with the guy. He promises me that God gave him the ability to speak in tongues many, many years ago. I said, well, how's that working for you? He couldn't tell me anybody that he'd saved or brought to the gospel, but that's what he was trying to do. And I said, well, would it make a difference to you if the Bible said, well, there you go with that doctrine stuff again. And every time I mentioned Bible, there I went with that doctrine stuff again. Folks, that's a pig. Point blank, that's someone who will not listen to what God says. Won't come and listen to what God says from this pulpit or any other pulpit because he says they teach. All you want to do is proselyte somebody into your denomination. I said, well, that boom, boom, red flag, we're not a denomination. Hello. Wouldn't listen. So that would be swine. Dust your feet off, walk away. He's not hearing you. I don't know if you've ever run up against anybody like that or not. And this was the first time in a long time that I have. But they're out there. There's a lot of folks out there that really don't want to hear what you have to say. That doesn't mean you quit. You just discern the swine from the good prospect and go on about your business. Protection. Isn't she cute? Lest they trample them under their feet, turn and tear you into pieces. Had I pressed this old boy the other day, we'd have gotten into a big old argument. There's no doubt in my mind. And it wasn't worth it. Not at all. That's not how you convince someone they need to listen and be converted. Not by an argument. That's a headbutting contest and nobody wins. You have that idea, I just got to tell him one more time. If you've ever been down that road, I just got to tell him one more time and see if I can get to him. Watch out. They may turn on you then. Once you have the idea this is not going to be someone I can talk to and convince, you're pretty much done. Now, you might want to try 6 months later, but not real soon. Give him a breath, give him a break. We've got to realize we're not making progress and have respect of not throwing the gospel at a dead tree or at a swine, as Jesus called it. Pearls and pigs, the principle's been taught through the ages. It's not something new. If you go to Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 9, it reads this way, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. In other words, that scoffer who you try to correct will have a shameful attitude toward you going about your business. Won't work. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Difference between swine and prospects, good prospects. Sometimes you only get hurt from some people when you have these kind of conversations with them. And it's naive to think that we can just throw the gospel out there to the masses. As soon as they hear it, they're going to become running to it, be converted. It just doesn't work that way. Or the mindset is that we want to throw the gospel out there to the masses because we're looking for the good soil. And the good soil is hidden amongst the masses. And the only way to find that good soil is to weed through the masses. Doesn't mean they're all going to respond. Doesn't mean you won't find one like old dude a lot of the other day who just all he want to do is argue. They're out there. You got to weed through them. And when a fool is corrected, he might not like you very much. So how do you know when somebody's a pig? Well, when they talk to you like he did me the other day, oh, you just want to proselyte somebody into your denomination. You just want to baptize people into your church. Well, that's the first thing he said that was gospelly right. Not my church, though. They call you a sect. Talk about your doctrine. Talk about other things that you know. Gives you the idea they're not listening and don't want to listen. That's how you know. When you hear the snort against your message, when you see the lack of interest against your time and spiritual truths, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Do not gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. You can't get a proselyte. You can't get a converted Christian from a pig. It just won't happen. Sojourners know that I'm telling the truth up here. Amen. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That spells sojourner, I think, if I'm not mistaken. We have to be that way. We have to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That's part of that discernment thing. What about a disciple who is walking with the wolves, torn by the swine? Sometimes we lose folks in the church because they start walking with the wolves. They start being in the packs of dogs. They start being out there amongst the swine. And it's unfortunate, but it happens. If you go back and look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, you'll find the account there. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 6, let's go to Ezekiel just really quick. I got to look at this passage this afternoon. It amazes me how today this passage is in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34 at verse 6. It's almost as if when you read through this that Ezekiel's talking to Christian about God's attitude about what we do or don't do. In fact, I want to start at verse 1. In Ezekiel chapter 34 at verse 1, we'll read down through verse 6. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now this is the upper echelon, the leaders of the tribes of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. That sound like today? There's a lot of sheep out there who have gone astray. Ain't nobody looking for them. Nobody's trying to bring them back to the fold. Nobody's doing anything about it. I would encourage you to spend some time with that entire chapter. That whole chapter is worthy of our study as far as how God sees those who don't tend to the flock. Not just shepherds either. I know that's pointed right at shepherds, but not just shepherds. David said in Psalm 51, verse 12, Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners may be converted to you. David wasn't trying to make a deal with God. David was saying, Lord, let me have back my good heart. Let me have back my right attitude so that I will be wanting to tell folks about you. So I'll be wanting to teach transgressors your ways so that I can help folks be turned to you. I'll read that passage. It's almost like, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That's not what it was at all. David was begging to have a right heart again because he was penitent over what he'd done with Bathsheba. We know the account of Psalm 51. But what does God think about us when we are no better than the shepherds of Israel? Probably not very well. Pigs and pearls. The model of pigs and pearls. Jesus to the multitude in John chapter 6. Remember that? They're up on the side of the mountain, side of the hill. He's speaking and preaching to the multitude, teaching that good sermon. In, let's see, it's verse 10. He fed the 5,000. In verse 15, he withdrew himself away from them. Verse 26, the people find him again, and Jesus rebukes them for only wanting the physical food, something to eat, not the spiritual food. In verse 41, he offers them spiritual bread. They weren't really crazy about those pearls either. He says, those who won't hear and learn are dogs and pigs and won't come to Christ. He said, you must eat his flesh and drink his blood, 6:54. And many who followed him no more after that day. They didn't appreciate the pearls, much like was told us in Matthew 7. Remember when Jesus refused to do a miracle because they weren't appreciating the pearls? Matthew 16, first four verses. Pharisees, Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it's fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, if it be foul weather for the sky is red and threatening. Call them hypocrites again. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. No sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Refused to do a sign because they really wouldn't have appreciated it. That's a pearl he didn't throw before the swine. Instructed his disciples, you recall, to shake the dust off their feet when they encountered someone who didn't want to hear what they had to say. And in Acts chapter 13, we find evidence that the apostles did that very thing. When someone wouldn't listen to them, they shook the dust off their feet and went right on down the road. The pearl of great price. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking the beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the way I view the pearl of great price determines whether I'm a pig or a merchant. That's just the way it is. How does someone view that pearl of great price? We understand what the pearl of great price is. There's only one pearl of great price, and that's the kingdom in all reality. Are we the merchant or are we the pig? Only one pearl, the kingdom. It's never on sale, full price. Won't ever be on sale. Merchant didn't try to negotiate a price. And it's not enough just to admire the pearl. You've got to buy it. You have to be all in for the pearl. Required all he had, full commitment. Other pearls, there's no comparison. That is the pearl. It's that pearl in the end result. It's that pearl that we try to share with folks when we try to share with them the gospel. If they can't appreciate that fact, if they can't appreciate the opportunity to be able one day to be in heaven with the Lord, you don't have much to work with there. It may take something in their life, a catastrophe, a death, a near death. It may take something that we can't supply to put them in a position where they will be willing to listen to the gospel. We don't pray for that, but if that's what it takes, sometimes that is what it takes. But there are those out there who would willingly listen. We need to weed through the masses and find them because they are out there. We don't know one from the other just looking. You can look at everybody you see in Walmart one day or everybody you see over at the ballpark over here one day. You can't tell a pig from a dog or a pearl by looking. You can't. Only by talking, only by sharing, then you know. Then when you discern it, discern the difference. You need to progress it, pursue it, or walk away. That's the message, I think, from that pearl of Matthew 7, verse 6. Discernment. Protection. giving it all Jesus wants us to give it. That's your lesson for tonight. I hope it's encouraging to you. I hope it's a good follow-up for you from this morning, and that we will all be encouraged to continue to share the gospel. I don't know if you're accustomed to doing that or not. I know some of you, we talk about sometimes, you've talked to so-and-so or such-and-such at work or somewhere else about the gospel, and there's times where you can put in your two cents about the church or this, that, and that's good stuff. And some of us, unfortunately, just never talk to anybody about the church or the gospel at all. If you need some help with that, let us know. You can pass out tracts, make phone calls. There's a lot of stuff you can do without being face-to-face with somebody in a confrontation mode or in a conversation mode. A lot of stuff can be done to help the cause of Christ, what you might say, behind the scenes. Don't have to be on the front lines. But the front lines, that's where it's at. That's where we like it. Once you get accustomed to it, that's the good stuff. That's the good place to be. If you're here tonight and there's a calling on your heart to respond to the invitation of this time of encouragement, we ask you to do that. We would beg you or plead with you to do that. Whatever it may be, sinner, saint, baptized, unbaptized, whatever it may be, now's the chance. Once more today, while together we stand and while we sing.